Hello everyone, I'm George Myland. Well, welcome back to the channel. This is about how Ukraine can win the Russo-Ukrainian war. So it's been going on for 3.5 years since it began in earnest. Was it 24th of February 2022? On the other hand, you could say it's been going on since 2014. But all right, the full-scale war for 3.5 years. And Russia's gaining very, very little. So their net gain in the first full 2022 was something like 60,000 square kilometers. Their net gain in 2023, about 10,000 square kilometers. Net gain in 2024, about 5,000 square kilometers. And so far this year, their net gain is about 3,000 square kilometers. And I know the year's not quite out, but the campaigning season is almost entirely over. Yes, there's fighting all through the year and occasionally moving forward and backward, but there haven't been any major breakthroughs in the winter. For all sorts of reasons I perhaps won't go into here, but some of them will just be blatant. So when I say win, I don't see Ukraine recovering Crimea or the other lost regions. They've lost most of Zaporizhia, Kherson, Donetsk and Lugansk. And remember, they lost Crimea in its entirety way back in 2014 and some of Donetsk and Lugansk at the beginning of 2014 as well. I remember Russia held those rigged referenda to incorporate them into the Russian Federation in September 2022. And I said, you know, before the war began, when Russia recognized the Donetsk People's Republic and Lugansk People's Republic, lo and behold, this is step one before they attempt the incorporation of these regions into Russia. You go back to 1991, when 84% of votes in Ukraine were for independence, and every single region of Ukraine voted for that, including Crimea, immediately by 55%. And all right, there wasn't, not everyone turned out, 85%. If you take the no votes and add them to those who didn't vote, it would still be 70% of people who voted for independence. So Ukraine can win their increasingly innovative use of drones, necessity being the mother of invention, and drone technology has come on leaps and bounds. The first war where drones were absolutely crucial and that both sides are using them. And yes, the Americans were using Predator drones and so on in Afghanistan, and the Israelis a lot against Hezbollah in Lebanon in 2006, but this is the first war in which drones have been perhaps more important than any other asset. And the Ukrainians were particularly low in numbers, ever more reliant on drones and got access to better Western technology. The West doesn't give its very best to them there because they want to hold it, save it for themselves. It's pricier. Plus, they don't want this to fall into enemy hands and the Russians to learn how to make their own version of it or to reverse engineer, come up with some defense. But anyway, so there have been mighty strokes of war dealt to the Russians and are hitting their economy. So it's all about oil and gas sales, oil, gas, coal. That's like 40% of the Russian economy. So make the war so pricey that Russia is unable to fund to prosecute the war. And it's becoming increasingly difficult. The National Wealth Fund meant to run out within a year, and that was hundreds of billions of dollars at the beginning. That over 200 billion euros worth of assets stranded the European Union frozen, the interest in that used to help Ukraine, is the European Union simply going to use this as collateral for a loan to Ukraine rather than actually confiscate it, because that would be legally dubious and so on. And that was the European Union should have done so ages ago and so on. So yeah, partly drone innovation. And the Ukrainians have taken out so many tanks, howitzers, personal air carriers and so forth. That's why Russians are using all these soft skin vehicles. And these losses can't be replaced at anything like the rate they're being sustained, which they're using, you know, tanks made over 70 years ago and obviously not in very good shape. So carrying on concentrating on assets because, you know, assets are limited. Manpower is almost unlimited. So making obviously the Russian public see that this war is impacting them, carrying on like that. I think some of the things that the Ukrainians have done to the Russians are not very worth it. Having drones buzz these airports, and particularly they can do it busy times of year, like it's not Christmas, 25th of December. Remember, it's from New Year's Day for about the first fortnight of January. That's big holiday season. And if these drones are coming near to Moscow airports in those days, and they have to cancel hundreds of flights and really delay people, okay, that annoys people. Fortunately, hasn't killed or injured a single civilian. But you carry like this, and it's amazing it hasn't happened. Eventually, something's going to go wrong. And that could hit a plane on the ground in the air, kill hundreds of civilians. And we really don't want that one. So don't waste the drones on that, which just causes irritation. You could use them on military targets, both in Ukraine and in Russia. And, I'm sad about these deaths because obviously most soldiers on both sides, they're not bad people. Many of them are good, some of them are neutral. And there'll be good and bad people on both sides. People aren't born bad because they happen to be a certain nationality and so forth. But, I blame the aggressor. I blame the Putin regime. And he's caused so many deaths of Ukrainians and indeed of his own people. And nobody would have died if Putin hadn't launched his illegal war of unprovoked aggression. Ukraine is Ukraine. Even Putin has even said during this war, the Ukraine is an independent nation. Therefore, Russia's got no right to a single inch of it. And he's breaking the United Nations Charter by attempting to take land by force and so on. You have some sort of dispute with Ukraine, you refer to the United Nations. That's what it's there for. Russia, with jealously guards its own sovereignty, is incessantly violating the sovereignty of Ukraine, as well as Georgia, as well as Moldova, illegally occupying the territory of these other countries. So, and to carry on defending so valiantly as they have and well, making the Russians pay a very, very heavy price for minimal gains around Pokrovsk. I am staggered that Ukraine still holds it. And again, there have been some Russian advances recently, and the Ukrainians, even a few weeks ago, they counterattacked and took back some land. So, the Russian advance is stalled to almost nil. And obviously, it cannot continue paying this sort of price for this sort of gain. It's been calculated that at this rate of attrition, it would take Russia 232 years to take Ukraine in its entirety, by which time the Russian nation would be long extinct. So it's not going to happen. But Putin is as determined as ever, and that surprised me. I didn't think that he was this pig-headed, despite all the losses, despite the trifling gains. But Ukraine can't do it all on their own. They still need funding from other countries, not just for free armaments, but also to pay salaries of civil servants and everything else, because the Ukrainian economy has taken such a hit. But they've really innovated and increased their military manufacturing to so much so they can actually even afford to export some of it during the war. And things that they don't need so much themselves, like shells right now, maybe tanks, because those are mostly offensive weapons they could sell to other countries. I mean, the tanks have not been as useful as people hoped. Obviously, Ukraine's mostly been on the defensive, and they've sometimes sent them in to bolster the morale of infantry units, even though that's not that useful. Not in big armored attacks, partly because they don't have air superiority. And it's very difficult to be on the offensive if you don't have that. They have managed it occasionally, like that September 2022 offensive, or indeed it was the next year when they broke into Kursk Oblast in Russia. And I'm not sure if they still have a sliver of that to this day. So other surprise attacks, they've successfully envelop the Russians in various places. So to carry on, I'm surprising them, even if it's not really a surprise. The Russian military doctrine is just so rigid, requires doing things with orders, no initiative. That's why the Ukrainians can easily blindside them, and the Russians won't respond fast enough. Even the low-level commanders see what's happening, know the what to do to withdraw whatever, or there's an opportunity to attack, and they don't take it because they have to get orders from several echelons up the chain of command. So to continue to be nimble, to be flexible like that, and using their drones as they are to taking out the assets. I mean, taking out the soldiers, I'm not sure it's that useful. Like, there's some poor Russians stranded on islands in the Dnieper River and extremely cold, running out of, they've got no drinking water. Drink the river water is that clean. No rations. And the Ukrainians are largely not even bothering to kill them. They're just going to die of starvation if they don't manage to surrender. Will they be able to get back to their own lines? Goodness. And then it might be better for the Ukrainians to wait till assets come forward to take those out. That's it. With the how much longer can Russia tolerate this? A year from now, there's virtually no gain, and Putin was, well, I just don't have the means to fight the war. My economy's paid such a price. But it's crucial that sanctions reduce Russia's oil and gas export revenue to the lowest possible level. They just can't afford to carry on fighting this war. And their bonuses for enlistment have been cut back because they can't afford to pay them. There have been tax rises, there have been cuts to all other budgets and so on. And Putin realizes that this war is jeopardizing his regime, and then we'll have to end it, not completely by withdrawing, but by some sort of ceasefire, peace deal, agreement to disagree, frozen conflict like Korean Peninsula sort of situation. That's probably the best realistic option for Ukraine at this stage. Maybe agreeing not to join NATO, but there's a path to join the European Union, which Russia wouldn't find as menacing. Putin even said so when Ukraine got candidate membership status. And of course, Ukraine joining the EU wouldn't happen for 10 years at least. There are several hundred countries ahead in the queue. It doesn't necessarily go in order, but Slovakia and Hungary look like they block it. for the foreseeable future. So this is how they continue, but they can't do it all on their own. And they need continual arms shipments from Western countries as well as financial benefactions. These Gripen fighters from Sweden will be great. And then people sufficiently confident in Ukraine, they're willing to set up armaments factories in Ukraine, bolster the Ukrainian economy. It's obviously very cheap to employ people there. But it does make me think, isn't that a bit risky? Wouldn't it be destroyed by the Russians? But obviously, so they've got some sort of confidence in Ukraine's air defense. And so far, Russia's attempt to take down the electric grid, yes, it causes problems, but it's not breaking Ukraine. And it came quite close a couple of years ago, but it's becoming less and less effective. Though, yes, it is a major headache, but it's not sufficient for Russia to win the war. Ukraine is obviously increasingly connected to the European electric grid, and it's going to be less and less effectual. Right, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, and PayPal, George Cullen, 790@gmail.com. Goodbye.